Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
My fly is open.
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
I'd like sweet meat.
You were making it pretty long in the kitchen.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the show link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And the IC channel is linuxthink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1088 of the Link Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And Joe.
Hello.
And no Dave. You got family commitments. But what commitment I had this past week was a fun little task that I managed to gobble up at the end of last week was a ticket that we have in one of our components to our CMS is called an embed block. And that embed block allows you to put in custom HTML. So you can like put a link in there, or you can do custom HTML in the embed block. And they were looking at various different HTML validators so that it validates the HTML before they submit it, because what would end up happening is people were submitting improper HTML, and then it was breaking later on down the line when it was used in some other place that it was causing it to break. So, you know, obviously that makes sense, right? Validating the HTML. So they had gone through various different HTML validators and settled on the W3C's new NUVU, I guess it's called NUVU HTML validator. So they run that service. It's free. It is an open source tool, and the thing is with them running it, they do have rate limiting on it, so that it doesn't get overwhelmed. And the guy who was writing the code that interfaces with it was doing it on a JavaScript debounce, so like as somebody was typing in, it was sending off the HTML to be validated, and then it would eventually get, like, very quickly rate limited and no response back, because he was kind of flooding it every second with a request. But even so, there was a concern that if more people are using this, it could get rate limited. And the thing about it being open source is that they make it available where you could run it and self-host it yourself. And that's what they say. If you're concerned about rate limiting, you can run your own instance of it. There's also other ways that you can run it. They make it available as a library to pull in that can be done on the command line inside your application. You can have it feed that HTML to the embedded Java version of it. So the source code is there, and they also make available libraries and tools, an embedded Java version, which it's fully functional to run. It has its own Java servlet in there to run. They have a Docker file that's available to pull that down, and you can containerize that and run it just like they do. Which is what I messed around with, playing around with it. So I got that up in our environment really quickly. And it was working just fine. That was just a test environment. So wrote up the tickets to do this and do it properly, which means that we set up a workflow for it and have it all structured in Terraform as much as possible for the infrastructure side of it. So we wanted to add it into our existing application suite and just call it HTML Validator. So it would run under our specific domain, just like all our other applications. So it's running off our domain, and then it is a path off of that domain. We have the Google Load Balancer in front of that, which in conjunction with Fastly does our authentication through Okta. That handles all of that on that end, so the applications don't necessarily have to handle that. They can check if they're authenticated, but that's all done largely through Fastly and handled in that code. And it comes in under HTML Validator, the Google Load Balancer, because it's running in Cloud Run, the container's running in Cloud Run, and the load balancer has a URL map that says anything with this path, send it back to this application. Got it all set up, and it was great. Thought it was going to work perfectly. Didn't work at all, because I didn't count on this. It didn't even dawn on me that what was happening was that when we would make the request to HTML Validator, that path, the load balancer was sending it back with that path on there, HTML Validator. And then, so it couldn't respond properly because there is no HTML Validator path on this application. It's just running and responds just direct requests to it, to port 80 or 443, however you have it set up. And I was like, obviously it makes sense. We do that. So the next thing that we did, which was kind of annoying, is that realized that what needed to be done was let's strip off the HTML validator when we send it back. Because we can do that in the on the load balancer URL map. There is a URL rewrite section where you could do a rewrite of the path. So, and I know I had mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but the guy that I work really closely with had redone all our Terraform and made it so that it's you define what you want in one file, and then it propagates it through various, you know, loops and stuff like that. Instead of having to define every resource that you need, you define in one location, here's the app, it's this type of app, it needs a service account, it connects to a bucket, it needs these permissions, and then it goes through. So the benefit of this is it kind of streamlined it, and you only have to define something in one location as opposed to the way it was before, where every single resource block was written out in the Terraform file, which made for this like really long Terraform file with it sectioned off into like service accounts and buckets and pub sub and everything. But now it's a little more uniform, and I don't want to say easier to read. If you know how to read it, it's still a little challenging. Before, it was kind of like all a mess and in there, and you had to search for stuff, but it was easy to recognize and easy to make one-off or custom things or whatever. So what ended up having to happen is I had to use another parameter in here a value for this application so I can implement the rewrite of the path on this, just this one application. And the Terraform conditionals are kind of a pain in the ass to work with. They're not like most other languages that you work with. But anyway, got it working and implemented it. It took like an hour or so, implemented it. And now while it stripped it off, and you were able to get the application delivered to you, it wasn't delivering the CSS or the JavaScript file properly, because now we had stripped off the HTML validator path. And so what it was delivering, because it's not a smart application at all, right? It's just this Java servlet running that delivers the application. So when you made a request to the application, it returned the page, the validator page, but it stripped off all the CSS and all the JavaScript file that goes with it, because it wasn't sending back to the client that you need to request this and the HTML validator path. It was just saying you just request it just from the regular path, and that was going to a whole different application, which didn't have those files. So that really frustrated me, because it solved the one problem, but it didn't solve it completely, and it was still broken. So I went through a bunch of different things, like how could I solve this problem? How could I fix this? And what I ultimately came up with was I got to throw a proxy in front of this, like Nginx as a reverse proxy, kind of like we used to do with a lot of our applications in the past, where you run Nginx as a proxy. So when you hit it, Nginx on the front end sends a request back to the application running on like port 3000 on the back end, and then it delivers. So I'm like, I got to do that, right? And I wanted to do it as easiest and laziest as possible just to get this thing up and running. So what I did was I took their Docker file and I took the build part of it and I added it to the Nginx Docker file, which were both Debian application, both Debian based applications, which was great, made it really easy. And then I had to add a Nginx configuration file to point back to the application. Now there's a couple, the preferred way of running this is that you should kind of run the Nginx container as a sidecar, as its own separate container to go back, but I didn't want to do that. I wasn't quite sure how I would do that in our current build system that uses cloud build for deploying this. I mean, I could have done something else, but I just wanted to get it running on Cloud Run. So I wrote a little script, startup script for this that launches the application, the HTML validator, and into the background, and then launches Nginx into the background and has a wait on it. So if any one of those X exits, then the container shuts down. And Cloud Run would just create a new one if that were to happen. So we got that, deployed that out, and it worked just fine. But that was kind of a pain. So I had to revert all the stuff I did with the pathing to the HTML validator. Because now when I go to the HTML validator path, instead of stripping it off, it just goes right back to Nginx, which is listening on the path of HTML validator and saying any request that comes in for this, just pass it back to the HTML validator, which then sends the web page back to the client that requested it and includes the full path to the CSS file and the JavaScript file so that it actually works properly. So that was fun. It was a little bit of a challenge. It was great to work with some Terraform. And maybe I'll improve on it. I don't know. Maybe I will do a sidecar thing. But we have it running. It's not going to get a heck of a lot of traffic, so I'm not concerned about it being overwhelmed. But there we are. Joel, there we are.
Neat.
Your Docker, your containerization for the week. Now, the annoying thing about doing this on an M1 Mac is that it's two things that you have to do. When you're working with a non-ARM container on an M1 Mac, you have to build it by passing parameter platform equals, like, what is it? Linux i386 or whatever, and or AMD64. And then you also have to run it with that platform command. And this is, I didn't really realize this. Like, I built the container and then I went to run it. And I ran into this like 2 weeks ago, and it complained that it couldn't find a certain library, QEMU couldn't find a certain library for running it, and that's because you got to specify the platform. So then I did. I went to run it with specifying the platform, and it told me it couldn't find the container, right? And I'm like, well, I just built the container. But I guess when you're running it on a different platform, you have to build that container on that platform on the M1 Mac. It's not like you could just build the container, even though it's a Debian container, an i386. You can't just run that container if you hadn't on the other platform. You have to actually build it, and then you can run it on the Intel or AMD64 platform. So just keep that in your mind there, Joel, if you ever have to build a Linux container that is AMD64 or x86, just be aware of that.
Okay.
You too, Joe.
Well, I have been having fun with containers too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I've been running Proxmox now for a few weeks. I've been trying to get the certificate, the self-signed certificate with Let's Encrypt and DuckDNS. But for some reason, I keep following the instructions and it keeps not working. So what can I do? So I did get Home Assistant set up, which is interesting. But it seems to randomly be turning off some of my motion sensors, and I don't know why. So I'm looking into that. And then I found out that, yes, I can get Cura to work, but if I have a large object there, it will eat all the RAM. Granted, right now it only has 12 gig of RAM. I am going to upgrade that to either 24 or... 32. But yeah, it's an issue right now. I don't know if it's just the RAM that was the problem, or if it was eating processor too. It basically locked up everything trying to slice something in Cura from a Docker container. So,
wait, why was it turning off? You didn't find out why it was turning off your sensors, did you?
I have not found out why it was turning off my sensors yet. Right now, I'm trying to reload the dashboard, but it seems to have just locked up entirely. But that's since I ran Cura, so everything had problems there. I mean, even my Octoprint quit working. I had to reboot that one. So now I'm going to reboot the Home Assistant one. And hopefully everything reconnects there.
It's all running on a Pi, right?
No, this is actually running on an HP Pro Desk. G3 600. So, yeah, it's an i5 6500T, two core, four processes. So two threads per core. So not, you know, anything spectacular, but 12 gigs of RAM. And I will be upgrading the RAM, and I might eventually upgrade the processor to the i7, which would give me, what, 4 cores, 8 threads. But yeah, it's been interesting learning things and finding the limitations on this. I did also get those 5 8-terabyte hard drives, and I've got them hooked up. One of them is hooked, well, is currently hooked up through USB to the Pro Desk, and the other ones are hooked up to my garage computer. But I will be, hopefully, I have a M.2 adapter that I'm going to be putting in there that should give me some more internal drives, M.2 to 6 SATA ports. So, and I did get some right angle adapters, and hopefully that will fit, but I won't know until I take it all apart and try and put it together. So we shall see on that one.
I may make my my current laptop a server once I get a regular one for my photo and all that. I think I'm probably going to be getting a MacBook probably in July, I think. I want something that'll run Creative Cloud that's not Windows. Because I'll have a photo project here in a couple weeks. We just did a whole bunch of different remodeling at church, and I need to get some they want us to take some pictures of the building after all the remodels that we did. So that'll be a project.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
And I did create some VMs, and some of my containers are set up through a network share. So they're actually using the 8-terabyte drives that are hooked to the other computer, which is interesting.
I should build a server, like a new server, not just repurposing an old system. I've got enough old systems.
Yeah.
Although I switched my Pi. I have a Pi 5 that's sitting on my desk next to my work machine, and I've been using that kind of off and on as like when I need to do something personal, like look up something or do something I don't want to do on my work computer. And I'm running Pi OS on it, which by default that uses Wayland. And the one thing I discovered is what'll happen is Wayland would blank out the screen. And the only way I can get the screen to come back on is if I powered it off and on by unplugging the cable. It's just a USB powered screen. And what I ended up doing was switched it over to Xorg and loaded a X screensaver. Now I got a screensaver on it. Now it just runs a screensaver, and I can access it anytime I want. So it's a lot more convenient now. I should probably plug in some speakers. I have some USB speakers. I should plug that in there too. Although the screen does have speakers built into it, so not great ones, but good enough. Really
good enough to get you started.
Yeah, good enough. Like if I want to watch a YouTube video or something, it'll work. But anywho, finished up my coursework for my fourth master's degree class, and I'm maintaining my 4-point. Woohoo! System analysis, planning, and control, I think, is the name of the class.
Well, you're in it now. You just finished it.
Just finished it, yeah.
What's next?
A break. I'm going like every other session now. Because if I go like straight sessions, I can take maybe 3 classes or something like that. So I'm just kind of spacing it out so that I can make sure that I can take full advantage of the employee tuition assistance program. So I only get like $52.50 a year for that, the way it is. So unless I all of a sudden run into some money, that's not happening. So, oh, and I got to kind of attend my first Major League Soccer event at the Columbus Crew game at lower.com field. We actually had five of our people that are going on our mission trip in August worked at a pretzel stand there, and they paid us $130 per person, so I get $130 towards my mission trip. So between that and what I'm going to put into it soon from my own money, I've got enough for the initial $250 right now. In total, I need like $1,300 or $1,300, I think, somewhere around there. It depends on how much airline tickets and all that stuff costs. So our church is corralled. Basically, we're going to be helping the pretzel stand out, serving the pretzels at every home Columbus Crew game. So, and that's in the new stadium that they built in downtown. So it was fun. Slinging pretzels and pretzel bites is incredible. Like you get to the half between the two halves of the match, and that pretzel stand was completely filled queue wise until 4 or 5 minutes into the next half. So I mean, at least. So, but and it was cold. It was damn cold Saturday. Oh, it was so cold. It's hard to work your fingers when you're trying to keep them warm. But me and the one guy, good friend of mine there, we corralled the station next to the heat lamps. So he was putting the nuggets together, and I was throwing the full size pretzels in the sleeves so that we can hand them out. And we didn't take the money. There was another, like, you just walked down after you got your drink and paid your money to some of our other volunteers. So, and we're doing the same thing at the Ohio State, some of the Ohio State games called Ben's Soft Pretzels, in case you wanted to know. But so that was interesting. But. And Saturday, I'm going to go to the Arnold Fitness Expo in downtown. And yes, it is the Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He might be there. I don't know. But I'll probably get to see some bodybuilders and all sorts of things. Might be able to buy a few things here or there, too. So I might try.
Well, tell Arnold I said hi.
If I see him, I will. I might look at some different protein powders while I'm there. One I'm thinking about checking out is First Forms Level 1 protein powder. It actually might end up being an ambassador for First Form. I'll find that more on that tomorrow and what that all entails.
You going to get them to sponsor the show?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You're going to sponsor Joel's ass, right?
Yeah, sponsor my hike, man.
That's it.
I'll wear a hat. I'll wear a hat.
Would you get it tattooed on your arm?
No, I wouldn't do that. I'll wear a hat.
On your forehead?
I'll wear a hat, but I'm already wearing my church's shirt when I go to the hike, so. Yeah, one of the
No tattoos for you?
Nah. I don't have any tattoos. Never have.
Well,
if I get one, it would probably be something dopey. But see, Level 1 protein, that's their whey protein.
They have goofy pumping iron.
Yeah. They also have some good protein bars, too. I tried one over at Vitamin Shop. They have those, and they have one called the PB Lovers. Oh, man, it's so good. So they got in their level one protein powder, they got red velvet cake, blueberry muffin, caramel latte, ice cream cookie, milk chocolate, salted peanut butter, strawberry milkshake, vanilla ice cream, chocolate natural, and vanilla natural. I kind of want to try the caramel latte and the red velvet cake. Those both sound delicious to me. And it's not that isolate protein. It's the whey protein. And today I tried something a little different. Usually my routine has been eat all the stuff I normally eat for breakfast before I go to the gym and then come home and go to work. Today, after I did my run at the gym, I actually saved my protein until after I got back. And today it was Ghost Oreo cookie. That's delicious. It's not as good as the butter one, but
no, I actually used that yesterday. I made some Oreo ice cream.
Interesting.
Actually, came out really well.
I actually
using the Ninja Creamy.
They have another Oreo flavor. They have a mint Oreo flavored protein powder, which I want to try that.
Well, my wife would like that one. I'm not a fan of mint though.
Oh, I love mint. But I might see if I can't get some of the, at least maybe at the show, see if I can't get a sample of the protein powder. Or hey, if I'm going to be a first form ambassador, send me some free stuff. I'll talk about it everywhere.
But you already do. I mean,
different. I talk about all sorts of protein powders.
Why would they need to give you anything? Uh-huh. You're gonna talk them up anyway.
Right. I had a Bear Bells cookie and cream bar for a snack this evening. Wife wanted me to stop it at the store and get some of the sugar-free popsicles. The popsicle brand one. She gets in a kick where she'll eat like her snack is nothing but that. I will eat like the same things all the time sometimes, but I get bored quick.
Oh, I usually eat French toast for breakfast.
Right.
Like almost every day using egg whites, but,
right.
It's a little difficult right now because there aren't any eggs or egg whites on the shelves.
It's funny and weird how it is in some places like down there. You're seeing that problem. I think Philadelphia, I have friends there that were seeing that problem. I've never had it here in Columbus.
The problem here is as soon as somebody mentioned there might be an issue with eggs,
we had to run out of bottom eggs. Yeah. Yes. Okay, well,
yeah. And now every time they hit the shelf, there's 10 people there waiting in line to grab them all.
Like a fucking toilet paper.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do know alternate ways of making French toast, though, without egg. I mean, there are some vegan recipes out there that you can follow, and I modify those.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically boils down to the, you know, protein powder,
right,
and almond milk as a substitute. Okay.
Have you tried I think it's a protein plus pancakes?
I have not. I keep planning on getting the Kodiak protein pancakes. They're supposed to be really good.
I've had I think it's protein plus. I think it is. They're decent. Of course, I don't want to put regular. I don't want to put sugar free syrup on it though. I'd put maple syrup on it because it tastes better.
Well, I usually use the sugar free. It doesn't really bother me.
I just had to find one I like, and I really haven't liked many of the sugar-free ones I've tasted. Not quite buttery or maple-y enough on some of them.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't even call themselves maple. I mean, they just say
pancake syrup.
Pancake syrup.
And it doesn't taste anything like it. Actually, I have some regular maple syrup, and their maple syrup's freaking expensive, too. The real stuff, anyway.
What is a bear?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what a bear is. It's when Joel shows up at his hike.
Yeah.
Without shaving.
I always shave.
And then it's almost time to shave my arms again.
They say, "Your arms? Do not leave the protein bars on the trail because the bear is out there."
Look, I work hard to get my forearms looking this good. And if I've got all the hair in the way, nobody can see it.
That's right. You got to oil them suckers up. Shave and oil, right?
Right. And when it comes to short season, you know what? My calves look incredible. I'm going to shave my legs, too.
Mine kind of do, although my one leg, I must have some varicose veins or something because they look a little lumpy. They don't hurt. You know, I mean, you know, it just looks bad. And it's getting better as I slowly build up the legs. Mm-hmm. So one thing I've been doing, I was talking with the coach the other day at boot camp, and I said, the only thing I'm really worried about is my knees. You know, everything else leg-wise, like my quads are stupid strong, so are my calves. And I asked her, what would you do for strengthening your knees? And she said, do like a low weight on the leg extension machine. So I'd like put 50 pound on the plate and then do like 50 reps. And then I did 50 reps for three
what
sets.
What if I do 50 reps with like a lot of weight?
Well, I'm sure you could do that.
like a crap ton.
I can do... My max on that, I think, is around one. I think I'll probably do 190 on the leg extension.
Well, my bench will hold on the leg extension part. Will hold what is it? 235.
Okay.
918, and then
I'm at 215. Yeah, 250. On the leg press, I'm at 415, and I got the machine maxed out. So.
And I will do. I will start off with a set of 20 with 250, and then I'll drop it.
Okay. Yeah.
Do like 15, and then drop it 35 pounds, and
I've been doing the assisted pull-up machine too.
I have been doing a lot more assisted pull-ups, but I do band assist.
Yeah, you got banned. Yeah, I probably could do that. I think over in the TRX room at Planet Fitness, they have the band assisted one. But I've been doing the weight assisted one. It's got 150 max on the plate, so that's where I'm at right now. Although I can do a few at 130, and I'm gradually gonna like lessen the weight until I can do just a full pull up on my own.
Well, I start with regular pull. Look, you know, I used to be able to do like 40 pull-ups, but at the time, I think I weighed like 165 pounds.
Well, I used to never do a pull-up, so if I work up to doing some pull-ups...
Now I can do like 4 unassisted pull-ups. So, and then I switch to the band, and I do... I don't even count at that point. I just keep doing them until I can't anymore. And then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll get like 3 different bands, and then as I gas out, I'll add another band.
I do that and lat pull downs. I did that yesterday.
Single or double?
What do you mean, single? One, both arms?
One arm or both arms?
Both arms.
Okay.
Yeah, the machine could do single or it can do either of them. The one I'm on. I'm not on the one with the bar. You know, with the cable, it's an actual lat pull down machine. So that's the only thing it does.
I've got some pulleys set up in my garage that I use.
My biggest complaint, I tried that. I tried the one with the cable. They do have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest problem is the cable, default cable that's in there is not long enough. It's either not long enough for me to sit on the seat or the seat's not high enough.
Yeah.
And it's real painful.
I make my own cables.
Yeah. I should see if I can't pick up an extension to add on to the end. Yeah. That might help. Because it's just not long. I'm too short to reach a fucker.
So you like, stand up, you grab it, you sit down.
Yeah, I can do that. But it's much more painful than the dedicated lap machine, though. Well, that, because I'm usually doing the wide one, not the close in.
You should, if you're trying to grow them lats, do the wide one.
Tricep, it's a push-down machine for the triceps that I do.
Yeah, tricep pushes.
About between, I think I was on 150 on the triceps, yeah.
Well, I don't tend to put a crap ton of weight on my tricep pull-downs because I have a bit of a tendon problem.
Okay.
But I will spam the hell out of however much weight I put on there. So it's like 75 pounds or something.
Yeah.
And then I will spam the hell out of that and then drop weight and spam the hell out of it again and do it again and do it again until you know, my triceps start cramping and then I stop.
Now, what's probably going to see tomorrow's boot camp, and what's probably going to happen since I did my ab work on the ab crunch machine yesterday, I did like 5 sets of 15 at 247 and a half on the ab crunch, weighted ab crunch machine.
Yeah,
tomorrow I will wake up and my abs will be like, what the fuck did you do to me?
Yeah, I don't have an ab crunch machine. What I'll do is I will do hanging leg raises.
Okay, yeah. That works too. Now see, tomorrow,
because it's too cold for me to get down on the ground even with a mat.
Right.
Or it has been until, you know,
now,
this week.
Now, what we end up doing will vary tomorrow depending on who is the coach leading things. If Kara's leading it, what'll probably happen is we'll do a Tabata and then she'll say, give me 10. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again.
Pull out your wallet.
No, 10 push-ups.
I know. But you're trying to be funny, so you pull out your wallet.
Oh, yeah.
You want that ones? Or five.
I should bring some $10 bill and say, here you go. The thing is, she'd take it.
Uh-huh, and then tell you to drop
get
and give her another 10.
Get down and do it anyway. Oh, I can see. The thing is I can do those. The worst is when she does it, like, 2 weeks ago, she did an AMRAP where it was push-ups and sit-ups. So I'm like, oh, God. And
yeah.
I
don't do AMRAP sit-ups anymore.
I did
too much damage to myself when I was younger.
The sit-ups, I don't have a problem with. The push-ups,
I didn't either. The whole thing was that I ended up with an overdeveloped abdominal wall, which can lead to things like
I'm sure
hernias, restricted blood flow, things like that. So I'm a bit casual about working out my abs.
Yeah, I get it. But the push-ups, though, I'll do like the first 3 sets in the AMRAP, I can do regular push-ups. But then I have to kind of go and fall back at that point, because then my knees are like, what the fuck?
My knees don't usually give me too much of a problem. It is most definitely my hip, especially with the if I don't work it for a while, like it's too cold for me to work out. I will get swelling from like the left side of my left knee all the way up through my butt into my lower back, and it will it'll be like the tendons there are guitar strings. They're so freaking tight.
Last week we did this exercise where you sat on your butt and you had a dumbbell sit out by your
leg
feet.
Lifts.
Yeah, well, you had a dumbbell sit out by your feet, and you had to, and it was to the, depending on which leg it was to either the left or the right
touches
of the weight.
Yeah.
And you had to raise it up over the weight, then go back down. And it's like 2 days later, my hip abductors were like, hello, I exist. I'm going to make you hurt.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed about getting older is I don't get the delayed onset muscle soreness the next day, but I will get it like the day after.
Yes.
I will hate it.
Yes, 100%. That's why I
said it lasts so much longer.
I'll wake up, my abs will be going dong, ba dong, ba dong, ba dong. And then of course they'll want to do ab work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with, but
well, I'm doing an upper lower split.
Right.
So I'll do upper one day, lower one day, take a break. Upper one day, lower one day, take a break.
Yeah, like tomorrow will be, see, that's exactly kind of how I did Monday and Tuesday. I did my second workout of the day, which I've been going in the evening now after 8, because I'm on call this week. And on call ends at 8 o'clock. So I'll go do the weights and then whatever steps I have left over, and I'll either do like a full, depending on how many, like if I have like 5,000, I'll just do a 30-minute run on the treadmill. Otherwise I'll do whatever I have left, but like at like 15% incline at my hiking pace. So
okay, so let's see. Sunday I did chest and biceps, triceps. So it was bench, curls, and various pull downs.
Right.
And overhead extensions. And let's see, that was Saturday. Sunday, I did squats and deadlifts. Squats and deadlifts.
Nice.
Because if I'm going to compound, I'm going to compound my compounds. And then
I wish they had a trap lift machine. That they don't have a trap bar at Planet Fitness.
Oh, you want to do trap bar squats? Those are actually supposed to be easier on the knees and a little easier on the back. So that might be a good idea. I mean, you
and
can get kind of the same thing with barbell.
Yeah, squats. Yeah. Yeah, that's something I might try. I actually might see if I can't get a small weight set and a bench for the house here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the heck's going on at Planet Fitness. Usually by this time of the year, the New Year's resolution people have already quit.
I know.
But every time I, like, Monday and Tuesday night, I went and it's fucking packed. And I'm like, ugh.
That's what I hear.
It's crazy.
They just haven't left yet.
Maybe it's Maha. I don't know.
maybe it's all the political stress going on in the world's getting to people, and they found out that lifting weights releases endorphins and helps with depression.
It's crazy. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, maybe they'll be gone next month. I don't know, but it's just like I'd love to go in, rip off my full set without having to wait for a machine. It's like, ugh.
Well, you know, I never have to wait for a machine in my garage.
I know.
That's only because I can't find anybody psychotic enough to lift with me. A couple of people have come over like once or twice to lift with me and then decide that that's no fun and they're not coming back again.
Now, see, that's the thing.
And
like, I
don't push people. I do not. I'd say, lift what you need to lift. I'm going to lift what I need to lift.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's exactly, and that's what my boot camp coaches do. They'll say, if you can't do a jumping jack, do this. If you can't do a push-up, do this. Do them off the wall. Do whatever, as long as you're moving. And that's really the key.
Right, right.
It's like, well, just move.
I remember one guy I used to lift with at the gym, and he would try to keep up with me. I saw that he was trying to keep up with me, and so I lowered the reps of the weight that I was doing to one more than he would do, and we would go back and forth, and he would try and do more and try and do more, and I would do one more than he would do, and then we're like, okay, last set. And then I just started cranking,
right.
And I looked him right in the face while I was on. We had a curl machine there. It's like, I wasn't doing exactly one more than you to convince you to do more, and then kept going. And yeah, right. That dude never lifted weights with me again for some reason.
That's like now we had kind of a end of year. So we basically decided August after my math month, March last year, we'd have a party and we did it at the one coach's house, her house. And her garage is like a fully kitted out gym, man. They have so much equipment in their garage, they don't have enough room to park their cars in the garage. And it's like, okay, but we didn't do any workout in there. We just did our normal stuff that we do, and we did it outside. And actually, it was a blast doing it outside. Actually, I can't wait till it's warm enough that we can do some stuff outside, because we will do that at the church. Like, we've got a rope, and we'll wrap it around one of the poles and whip the ropes. Oh, that's fun. It's fun.
I need to set up some farmer's carries out in my backyard.
We did that too. Yeah, we did those too. And we did some sprints, like we would say, go out to the fourth parking spot, run back. Go out to the 10th parking spot, run back. And then eventually we did the whole parking lot and run back. I think we're going to be adding more cardio too, because our coach is saying, I need to do more cardio. I'm like, okay.
I need to start doing cardio again.
I do stupid amounts of cardio, so I mean.
Well, I got my 10K steps in today.
I did my 13.
I haven't been regularly getting in my 10K steps, and I haven't been on my bike in a while.
What did I do today? Hold on.
But normally, you know, I try to get my steps walking my dog.
Right.
And 12, I'm not going to do that when it's freaking 10 degrees
ice.
Out.
I did 12,421 today so far. So, and
I'm at 10,182.
Now, Garmin measures your VO2 max. All right.
Would be nice.
And mine is at 39, which is in the good range. And according to Garmin, my VO2 max is in the top 40% for my age and gender.
That's actually not all that surprising. That yours is that good, because you know you're actually taking this shit seriously.
Yes, and if you look on that same page, it has a link. It says view your fitness age, right? And according to Garmin, my fitness age is 52 and a half, and I'm going to be 54 in April.
That's cool.
So yeah, I think I'm going in the right direction. So I would like to say I'm only eating like 1,800 calories, but no, actually I've been eating more calories than than I did last year. So
you've gotten to that point.
Oh yes. Today. Just
if you don't eat more, then you're not going to have any energy, and you won't be able to sleep. And the only thing you'll do when you lay down is think about your next meal that you're going to prepare.
Yeah.
And what the rest. You would not believe how many 2 a.m. recipes I came up with.
Yep.
When I dieted down to 200 pounds.
Now, according to the app I'm using this year now, other than Noom, well, Noom hasn't popped up. Maybe it finally expired. But anyway, LifeSum is the one I got through my Work Thrives benefit, and it's really great for tracking the food. But it also brings in this the exercise that I got syncing to Google Fit. And according to the today, I burned 685 calories in pure exercise. Yesterday, 898. Day before, 841.
I never trust those.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's somewhat sketch, you know, because it's going based on whatever the weight it has for you. And the bad thing is
it's fuzzy math. And yes. Seriously, everybody burns calories in different ways.
Yes,
so.
Yes. So, yeah. But still, I'm doing stupid amounts of cardio and, you know, my weight lift, you know, today I did, it was a rest day, so no strength training today, but I still got all the numbers in that I wanted to get in, you know, so far as moving and all that. So, and I'm running like, my speed on the treadmill is about 4.6 to 4.7 ish. I can do comfortably on the treadmill. I could run off of the treadmill. I can actually run faster. And I did, actually. I was on a walk earlier this week, and I thought, why not? Let me just run down this street. And I did that, and I'm, like, hitting speeds around 6 miles an hour or so.
Well, when you're running on the treadmill's pushing back against
you. That's exactly right. I mean, well, not to mention the fact is, Planet Fitness has made the Matrix treadmills, and they have that stupid, like, plastic thing on the front, and I end up kicking every time I'm on it. So, it's harder for me to run faster on that because it just is. I can't really explain why. It just, for me, I could run faster off of it. That's why I can't really wait until the warm weather stays, because I'll go for an actual run every once in a while. I gotta start working on running anyway, because if I'm doing that 10K, I don't want to necessarily take twice, you know, 44 minutes times two. I don't want it to take 88 minutes for me to get the 10K done. I want to do better than that. But, yeah, my biggest frustration on the tracking is all been how do I get things where I wanted to get tracking wise. So now, like, for example, Garmin will do food logging, but it sucks for food logging, so I don't use it for that. But I sync it, Garmin, to Google Fit via a app called HealthSync. And HealthSync will sync, like, things to other things. So, like, I can sync my Withing scale to Google Fit. And then Google Fit will sync up to LifeSum, which is where really my final place I look for things. So, and sometimes it don't work. Like, I went for a walk, and I tracked the walk via my watch. Usually I don't have a problem with it getting the Google Fit, but for some reason, it just counted it as walking. And when it counts it as just plain walking, as in not a tracked exercise, it doesn't catch the calories. So, it's frustrating. But I'm to the point now where if I'm running out of calories, but I'm kind of hungry, I'll go purposely go run or walk or do something just so I can have another snack. So, but things are going well with that, you know, so we'll see. I'll find more out in a month. I'll have my nephrology appointment, and I'll see if I'm done with them, maybe if I can ditch some of the blood pressure meds.
They'll probably have you come off them slowly to make sure.
Well, if I can just come off of, like, spironolactone is the only one that he specifically prescribed. Jardiance was by my primary care. And the primary care, when I was at his appointment, he said, we'll see, wait until, see what Dr. Bitter says. He's my nephrologist, so. And he said that if all my labs came back normal this time, then I'm done with him. I don't have to see him anymore. And I want to keep it that way, because I surely don't want to go the route our good friend Link went down. Never. Never, never, never. I'm not going to do... Now, I'm going to have to watch this thing, but I was listening to a podcast today and had the guy that did that documentary called Don't Die on Netflix. Have you read or heard about this guy?
Nope.
So he does this really crazy routine where he's taking like crazy amounts of supplements and all
that. Oh, he's one of those longevity guys?
Kind of, yeah. Like, we're talking like 80 different pills throughout the day.
Okay, I think I do know that guy.
Yeah, he calls it his body blueprint or whatever it is.
Looks like a wax doll.
Yeah, something like that. And some of the stuff, like, his last meal he eats in a day is 11 in the morning. I could never not eat from 11 until 8 o'clock. And that's when he goes to bed, is at 8 o'clock. And I'm like,
well, some
I could
people
go to bed
swear
at 8
by,
o'clock.
Like, intermittent fasting.
Yeah, I guess.
It's never worked for me.
No, me either. Me either. It's like, I'll get done. Like, I definitely get more hungry after a workout, for sure. I've been drinking a massive amounts of water, too, lately. And Dan just straps his sriracha on and goes for a run. You still
Another
do the
run
hirachas.
The run.
You still do the hirachas, right?
No, I don't. I have very thin-soled shoes.
Like wrestling shoes?
No,
barefoot
no,
shoes?
They're like 5 millimeters. They're closer to weight of hirachas.
Oh, barefoot shoes.
But they're not
a barefoot shoe.
They're not. Yeah, I guess they're called that. They're a New Balance. I actually have to get new ones because they're starting to get holes in them.
Ooh.
So are they?
That's long past where you should have replaced them, dude.
Well, how much do those run?
Oh, I think when I bought them, they were like $80.
If you look at
that's
wrestling shoes, they are thin soled as well, but you can usually get them in the $45 range.
Interesting. For me, I want thick shoes. That's just me. I want the cushion. Although, debating getting a pair of Vibram Five Fingers just for walking, not for running.
It takes some getting used to. You best be ready for the tendons in your feet to hate you.
Yeah.
Well, the whole idea
practice,
is
practice.
I'd wear them walking mostly to strengthen my feet up for when I go hiking, in which I'll have a real hiking shoe on. Not those, although you can get those in trail versions, and I don't know if I'd want to try that.
Just warning you ahead of time.
Right. I know that's, and I'm kind of shopping for my next set of trail shoes. I haven't found what I want to get yet. Mostly because Sierra hasn't had any of the ultra trail shoes lately. And that's where I can usually get the best price, so I'm probably going to end up buying them off of Amazon. And I'm debating going to... They have the Lone Peak, but in a high top. I'm debating going to those for my hiking trail shoes. We'll see. We'll see. I know I am definitely going to be a Garmin homer for a while. I love my Garmin watch. It's so just so good. The only thing I don't like is I switched to a metal band. And I have to have that band so small. It kind of is kind of fiddly to put on my wrist. So I'm thinking about picking up They have one that's like a canvas band, or they also have one that's like a leather with a Velcro on it, which is a little easier to put on. They also have a paracord version, wrist watch band for the garments.
Like with my watch, I have to be careful. Like, yeah, my wrist will change size as I work out. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, or if I'm not careful, it'll cut off blood flow, and I'll have a lot of trouble taking it off.
Yeah, because I think what's happening to the metal one I got now is I think it will loosen over time and start to basically get bigger. So every once in a while, I have to flip the clasp open and shorten it a little bit more. So it stays where I want it. It kind of gets loose. And once it gets too loose, it hasn't gotten loose enough to where it wouldn't read my heart rate. But it has gotten loose to where it's almost getting ready to spin. So, and I don't want that because when it gets to that point, then the heart rate won't track right. So.
Yeah, usually halfway through a workout, I'll have to loosen my watch up like two notches.
I might get two different ones. I just have to figure out which one. And the nice thing is I can put like they're small enough that I wouldn't feel bad about sticking a spare band in my pack. That way I can do switch bands halfway through, you know, if it feels too tight or something. Or just, you know, switch it out whatever I want to. But when I did went for a hike in the mud on a Sunday, I actually took that Visney fanny pack, that cheap one that we found on Amazon. I liked it. The only thing I don't like is it will not fit. I have a 32-ounce circle bottle. It will not fit into the water bottle pockets, which, it's not that, you know, I don't have to have that. On the Mammoth March, they have water stations every water or refreshment stations every 5 to 7 miles. So what they do is they alternate it. Like the first one you run into will just be water, and then the second one will be food, you know, food and water. So. Which they'll have things like peanut butter sandwiches or they have the Ligair popcorn, puff corn snack things and stuff like that, and apples and bananas and stuff like that. I might, for the first one, pick up like some jerky or something to stick in my pack because I want meat protein instead of peanut butter protein. I'm like, can y'all have like some ham sandwiches instead of just peanut butter and jelly? I'm not five.
Well, they want quick digesting stuff.
Yeah, I know. They do. I'm trying to think if they have protein bars or something. I know I took some with me.
Plus, peanut butter does better outside than ham does.
Well, yeah, it's true too. But I know, like. Certain things, like I couldn't take my Fit Crunch bars on these hikes, not any of those, because June, August, and September I could probably take them because they'll probably stay solid in September, but they'll get all gorpy.
Take some tuna pouches.
Actually, that's a good idea. I got some, or the chicken ones. Not to mention the fact they're relatively lower calorie. Like one packet's like 90 calories. So
yeah, low calorie, high protein.
Yeah. And I think the first one, I haven't actually threw my card in and reserved it yet, but I think the first one's in Indiana. So, and it's a 3-hour drive from my house to there. So we're definitely I'm definitely leaving the Friday before. And I think I found a house that we can get that fit all the three of us that are going on it. So I think that's an idea. I think what I'll probably do is I'll pick up some steaks and we can grill some steaks out and do some protein/carbo loading the day before. So, And I'll make sure I have plenty of element to start off with. They'll have element sticks at the aid stations too. I think, unless they switch the sponsor this year. They also had like weird snacks, like they had one was like a like it was soybeans is what it was. Or no, wait, it was a soy no fava beans is what it was. Either fried or dried fava beans. It was weird. What is the name of it? Not good bean.
Not fava beans, I don't think.
No, it was weird. They tasted okay, but it's just not really something I would buy normally.
Wait, what did it look like?
It looked almost like a soybean, but I think it was a fava bean.
Was it large?
No, it was kind of small.
Fava beans are usually pretty, like, they almost look like a really large lima bean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you would know. You're Mr. Bean.
I love beans. I don't like lima beans, though.
Yeah, lima beans are disgusting.
I do like edamame, though.
That's what I was thinking.
It's not that. Let me see. I can see if they list in a partner.
No, because you can buy like dried edamame beans that are just coated in just about anything. Sriracha, Cajun.
Let's see. Oh, they're going to have tidbits this year.
Wasabi. Ooh, spicy wasabi. Ginger garlic.
Your tidbits are a meringue snack.
Edamame is a little bit higher in calorie. And, well, higher in calorie, but also higher in protein.
Right. I've had edamame is good. Like today, now, here's something. I'm going to back off the factor a little bit because it's getting freaking expensive. It's like for $90 for six meals. So I'm backing off and doing that only on weeks that I'm on call. So this week I'm on call, so this is the last week I'm going to have them until I'm my next on call. But this week I had, today for lunch I had a vegan tamale bowl, and it was good. And the veggie it had on it was like sweet potatoes. And it was pretty good. Now the energy drink they have at the Mammoth March is the Rainstorm one. That's not the traditional rain, but it's the skinny ones they have. It's decent. Not my favorite. Yeah, Ghost brought out a sour cherry version, man. If you find that one, Joe, give that one a try.
Okay.
Although every time I see they brought the Welch's flavor seems to be much more common now. So every time I see it at the store, I buy as much of it as I can because that's my favorite flavor. Well, it tastes like a Welch's grape soda. And then my second favorite, that's even more common than the Welch's, is the Swedish fish one. That one's delicious too.
Yeah, my wife likes that one.
Do you do a free workout?
What do you mean?
Like, do you take like the pre-workout powder or something?
Sometimes. I usually work out in the evenings though, so I go for a no stim.
Right. I get it. Yep.
And then I'll usually take like about a liter of water and mix in a scoop of the no stim, maybe two, and then some electrolyte powder and drink that so I can make sure I'm hydrated.
So what electrolyte powder do you do?
Oh, I can look it up.
Not liquid IV.
No, not liquid IV.
Oh. That stuff's, I don't like that. I've tried it. It's not good for me. I don't like it. It's too sweet. The one I bought actually was the one that had the sugar in it, and it was like, no, it's a little too much.
Key nutrients, multivitamin, electrolytes powder, no sugar, refreshing okay. Lemonade, electrolyte powder.
Okay. I'm still hooked on the element. I usually do raspberry or orange. And those are good. I have some of the chocolate medley ones left too. I've taken the chocolate, trying to remember which one, the chocolate mint salt, mixed it with some espresso, and that's delicious.
I'll usually, you know, buy whatever's on sale.
Right. And I did, I do buy the sparkling elements too. And last time I got paid, I usually have been buying the black cherry lime one. But last time I bought a multi-pack with different flavors in it, and I've tried almost all of them, and the watermelon salt is pretty dang good on that one. The watermelon sparkling. I like to do that one. Like I might take an element stick mixed in my water bottle to the gym. Then when I get home, I'll crack up, open one of those. Because I usually have that by the end of the trail. Although this morning, I'm walking into the gym. I scan my phone on the assist at the door. And I start walking towards the treadmill, then I realize I left my water bottle in the car. I'm like, ah, crap. Do I walk back and go get it, or do I just go push through it? And I just pushed through it, and then when I got back to the car, I sucked that whole thing down. Oh. I guess that's good test for seeing how long I can go without a sip of water or a sip of something to drink.
We got to wrap this up.
Yes, we do.
Final show for February.
We'll
see you in a
March
week.
Madness.
There we go. Thank you. Keep lifting and running.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy's got a gun.
It's over. Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. I just got expo tickets to the Arnold thing. You could spend stupid amounts of money going to see all the pose downs and stuff down at the Arnold Sports Festival, and I ain't doing that.
Is Arnold going to be there?
That's a good question. The last time I went, he was, but he was also the governor then. You know, he was governor of California at that point. Now they got here's the crazy thing here. They got photo ops, and on the photo ops page, well, first off, they're all guys, so I really don't want to get a picture with one of them. Chris Bumstead.
You don't want to get your picture taken with Ronnie Coleman?
Nah. I don't think so. Or Thor Bjornsson. Now, if I run into Issa Pera Nunes, yeah, I want to get her picture with her. I'd do that.
Can you get a picture with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, I wouldn't do that.
This is a cutout of him that they send around, right?
There could be that. Let's see. Who I want to see. They said meet and greets too. It's just like if you ever go to, just not into all of that stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's like why do I not like
it? Was very Christian.
You don't like what? Did you just say you don't like Firefly?
I do not.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. That's a sin.
Honest to goodness.
We can't be friends.
Whatever.
You're officially excommunicated.
Nah. Went for my first hike we had a 40-degree day this past Sunday, and I went outside and I went through the mud. It was muddy as hell, man, let me tell you. But I had fun anyway. No, nothing wrong with getting a little dirty. Actually, here's the cool thing.
Is that what she said?
That is what she said. Now, my church is going to probably be doing a 5K sometime this June, I think. Hopefully it's not the same day as our hike in June. But we're doing one, trying to get together and do one for Aruna, which is for, I think sexual trafficking, you know, like anti, you know.
Okay.
So, and it's going to be sponsored by my church. The Aruna Project, Aruna. I think it's it anyway.
Hold on. Wait, what? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are you exactly doing for this thing? What? Joel?
He's getting a little
dirty.
I'm here.
No, I'm here.
Oh, I was going to say.
They already got it listed. That is cool.
Where's Dave?
He's not going to be
here. He's not here today. Oh, by Levermark. Okay. We're going to partner with Levermark, apparently. That's cool. Yeah, so it's a 5K race, 100% of the registration fees and donations help free trafficked women.
That's cool. Hold on, I'm almost ready here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on, just setting things up. And this is 188, isn't it? Yabba dabba doo. Where am I? What's this? Remember this?
No.
In a world still hostile to open source.
You don't remember that?
I don't, actually.
That was a long time ago. All right, now here we go. Now we're ready to go. Yeah. So it's nice weather where you are, Joel. It's nice weather where you are, Joe. Yes?
Yeah, the weather's kind good of here. It's supposed to be 80 on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Everybody's sick at my house.
I have avoided the plague.
Oh, it's terrible. Not a happy day. My daughter's been out of school for 3 days.
Influenza, eh?
Paige has flu. Avery, I believe, has flu. I think Lily had the flu. I don't know if Aaron and I had the flu. I think Aaron might have the flu now. I just had like a bad cold. But it could still be the flu. I did get the flu shot, so.
Might be measles.
What's that?
Might be measles.
I don't think so.
Duffel. Black plague.
Shit,
the COVID 4500, right?
Bird flu.
All right. Do I have everything here?
I'm going to the Arnold Saturday. We can talk about that a little bit.
All right. You ready? This is 1,000. Is it 1,088?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the show for February 26, 2025, the last show for February.
There we go.